So I want to get into the Word today, and I don't exactly know how this is going to go because this was one that I didn't plan. I planned a different one, and then the Lord said, hey, we're going to do something else. So yesterday was Lord said, so we're going to redo it day. And I'm really excited about this Word, and I just want to pray over it, and then I got a little bit of an action that I want to do right afterwards. So, Lord Jesus, I give this service back into your hands. Lord, I don't want it to ever have been in ours. I want you to have your way here, and we relinquish all control, because all authority is yours. All our blessings flow from you. Lord, and as we said, every trial and everything we go through is for your glory and for our good. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through me. Lord, and whether it's a normal time frame or an abbreviated time frame, Lord, I know that your word will go forth and it will change lives because that's what we want it to do. If we don't leave here changed, Lord, we missed it. So, Lord, help us to leave here changed. Help us to leave here transformed and thinking about you, thinking about your word, thinking about everything in your perspective, in your ways, with your mind, in your heart. Lord, let your love and your Holy Spirit move us in everything we say and everything we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I want to do our declaration and then I'm going to open up to the word. So, yeah, there we go. All right. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? Amen. So I was going to continue our study in Romans 12, but the Lord said, let's put a pin in that. We'll probably do that next week or the week after, but today I want to talk about get wisdom. And a title like that might sound like I'm going to sing a Johnny Cash song, but I'll refrain from doing that today. But we're going to talk about wisdom, wisdom that comes from the Lord, wisdom that comes from Holy Spirit. And, this is just, I don't know, one of those words that, to be honest with you, I think it was another one that came out of our evening routine where we're laying down and then Mr. Eli's coming in and saying, hey, I think I heard something from Jesus. Honestly, I think how this went, isn't it? try a low cut around 600, maybe. See if that helps us. Or pull subs down. We probably don't need them. That might help. Sorry, guys. We're a lot of new technology, a lot of things that are made better, and then a lot of things that are shuffled that we have to figure out how to work on. So bear with us as we go through all that. But he came in one evening and said, you know, Dad, you were preaching on so-and-so and so-and-so, but I feel like the Lord wants to talk about wisdom. So I was ruminating on that for a little bit, you know, kind of like, okay, how are we going to do this? What are we going to talk about? I feel like everybody, you know, has heard a message on wisdom. So I'm going to share a little bit on what's on my heart as it pertains to wisdom. But I've been thinking all morning long that I may play a game of tag, and that'll make more sense in a little bit. But let's go for now to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to reside here for a little bit. Some freebie that I thought was pretty cool. Christy read my notes before I kind of finalized it and printed it, and she added a little note here, and she said, FYI, I taught the kids on King Solomon and godly wisdom last Sunday, so you're on the right track. So I like seeing these little notes that I didn't type in here from my wife. So she's listening to Jesus, too, for your kiddos. I hope that brings you comfort and peace as well, that she's hearing his voice as she's teaching them. So they talked about wisdom, and we're talking about wisdom today. So 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We're going to read through it, and I'm going to call back to a few points. So just kind of stick at 1 Kings 3 for me. I'm reading out of the New International Version. It should be on the screen. So Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace in the temple of the Lord, and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. I have a thought there, but I'll proceed and we'll come back to it. Verse 4, the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now the Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as your father David did, I will also give you a long life. Verse 15. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem. He stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. Something that stood out to me in this reading, I'm going to give you two things that I don't have in my notes, but oh, they're so powerful. In verse 2, I believe 2 and 3, I see something interesting that I think is worthy of calling out. And it said, the people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. But yet, Solomon still loved the Lord and showed his love for him by the way that he obeyed according to the way his father obeyed. So he learned something not only by the law, you know, the book of rules that, you know, for lack of any better word, he knew something by knowledge, but he also got something by wisdom. What he didn't realize, he actually saw something by wisdom in his father in observance. So he did what he saw his father doing, and his father loved and honored the Lord. The word tells us that. So something that sticks out to me, and I just want you to maybe write these verses down and look at it again later and see what it says to you. But I see here a man who knows some of the ways to serve God, but he doesn't know how to serve God. Because look what happened. I think this is interesting. You see that portion in verses 2 through 4, he said, then he went to Gibeon, another high place, to offer sacrifices. But look at what he did in verse 15. He returned to Jerusalem. He should have started in Jerusalem, to be honest with you. That was how God said to worship him, not at the high places. Otherwise, he wouldn't have called it out. You see that? That makes sense? So it reminds me a bit of the woman at the well. We know how and what we worship, were Jesus' words there. We know how and we know what. That's what God longs for us to have. So put a little mental note there, write that down. Check out those verses and ask the Lord, Lord, am I worshiping you the way that you've not only commanded,
but also the way that you've shown. Because the Lord shows us the ways that make him happy, right? One of the ways his Holy Spirit guides us in that. So that was one of your freebies. Another freebie that, oh goodness gracious. I love the statement that he calls out in verse 7. And I think it's something that we as God's people need to always be in remembrance of goodness. Mm-hmm. The Lord answered Solomon's prayer. Not because of what he did, because he didn't know what or how he was doing it the right way. He kind of had an idea. But man, one thing he nailed, and it's something we cannot forget, guys. If this is the only message you hear today on getting wisdom, it's this. Verse 7, you have made your servant. What am I but your servant? I am no one. I am nothing but your servant. I will not claim the title of king. I will not claim the title of warlord or anything else. I claim the title of servant. Because all I want to do for the rest of my days is serve you. Amen. And his father wrote in the book of Psalms, sorry, but this, he said, man, it is, and I'm paraphrasing, this is Chris's paraphrase, so just go with it. But I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord my God. If I do nothing for the rest of my days, I am blessed to get to answer the door and welcome you in. It's not about titles. It's not about, oh, well, I think I could do that better than so-and-so. Come on. It's about, Lord, as it pertains to this, I'm a little child. I know nothing. But there's one thing I know that children are good at. Children are good at, hey, you see me do, you do. Right? You see me, you do, right? So be sure that we're showing them the good things that we want them to see and do, right? So when the word says, have faith like a child, it doesn't mean be ignorant. It doesn't mean don't apply knowledge and wisdom and the common sense that comes with time and relationship with Jesus. It means just be real. Be simple in serving him. Don't try to make it complicated. Don't try to be showy. Hey, check this out. I can do this. Which, as a dad, and with a little bit of humor, which I believe the Lord himself shares and deposited in each of us, I think there's times when you can say, hey, check this out. And God's like, yeah, do it. That's awesome. But we're not doing it for that. Okay? Humility. All right, can you receive that today? Is that okay? All right. Now let's continue with our notes. So one of the questions that came to mind was, where can we get wisdom? How did Solomon get it? And Alan and I were talking this morning, and it seems we came to the same conclusion that he asked for it. Kind of simple. I know it seems simple. Sorry, this mic keeps moving, guys. I'm probably going to be adjusting it the whole time. I don't have the hair to block it, you know, so sorry. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We stop there. Often we stop there and say, oh, that sounds good. I'm going to memorize that one. And we forget the context. So here's the full context. Verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Amen? Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person
should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Is there anything impossible for the Lord? No. But you can sure get in the way and mess it up for yourself, okay? Don't do it. Believe. Trust Him. Verse 8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. But we found out in Romans chapter 12, if I heed the voice of the Lord and if I ask for the Lord, He'll transform my mind. He'll transform my heart. So I'm not double-minded and unstable if I yield to Him. Because I can't understand the things of the Spirit without the Spirit. Are you with me? I want to jump down in verse 16. 16 through 18 says, so don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He does not change. Verse 18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. So not only does He ask us to bear fruits, He's showing us in every way He can that I'm not asking you to do anything that I didn't do. I'm not asking you to do anything that I didn't model for you. You can do it. Why? Because I did it for you, I gave you an example, and I'm going to fill you with my power so that you can. Okay? So, back to verse 6 in James 1, believe, not doubt. Okay? So as I was writing these, we see all these examples of Solomon's wisdom. We see it immediately afterwards in 1 Kings 3, starting in verse 16, there was this ruling where two women, they both had babies, they both were in the same household. One of the women rolled over and smothered her baby, and the baby died. The other woman did not do such with her baby, so they had this baby, and I don't know how this worked out. This is one of those weird, it's almost like one of the little drama shows on TV where there's all kinds of drama, like goodness. But anyways, they come to the king, and they say, hey, listen, she's got my baby. And she said, no, she's got my baby. Lots of drama, right? And so they tell him to judge whose baby it is and give it to that lady, and they would abide by that ruling. So paraphrasing a whole lot. And when he takes a moment, this sort of wisdom comes out. And guys, I don't know about you, but I don't think any of us have ever experienced anything like this. So this is not a learned wisdom. This is the wisdom from above. He says, huh, okay, I have a solution. Cut the baby in half. You get half and you get half. And then immediately, the mom whose baby it was, because her desire is for that baby to live, said, no, give it to her. Keep it alive. And he said, bingo, her baby. I don't know what else happened in the story, but I'm like, ah. That brings up some holy righteous anger right there for me a little bit, just to be honest with you, because I have kiddos too. And any of you that do, I mean, no, they live. I'd rather them live than anything like that. But that kind of wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. You can't manufacture that. And I don't know Solomon's state at that time. I know that the word preceded that to say that he was about to get married to Pharaoh's daughter. But we don't know if he had kids at that point. But I still think that was 1,000% Holy Spirit guided right there, okay? That's the kind of wisdom we're talking about. So I want to, before I transition to the next point, can we join in a prayer? And I was going to do this earlier, but I didn't get a chance to. Paul, I want you to lead us in a prayer to ask the Lord to teach us not to doubt, to truly believe what He says over us. Would you lead us in that prayer? I'm going to do the microphone just so the folks online can hear you.
Father God, we just do thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are a God of wisdom. You want us to believe, Lord, that we can receive wisdom when we ask from You. So often, Lord, we doubt and we think, oh, this is just my thought, not Your thought. But may we clearly understand your wisdom, because, Lord, you are a God of wisdom and you want us to believe and understand. Lord, it is a gift that you give us,
yes.
And we just need to joyfully receive it. And when we receive it, believe that it is there from you. Lord, you are a God of wisdom and you want us to have wisdom, decisions we need to make, the prayers we need to pray, how to pray, and wisdom who to pray for. We just thank you that you are there for each one of us daily. We need to expect from you because you give generously. We give you thanks, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. In Zechariah 4:6, I don't have this on the screen, but Zechariah is writing this word down. He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And as I was thinking about that, we're probably going to do a word on this soon, but because I have a lot of thoughts, but really quickly, he was focusing on a monumental task before him, and he didn't know how he was going to achieve it. And because the Lord often shows us pictures and speaks to us in pictures that are pretty darn relevant to what we're doing, he said, okay, you're tasked with restoring the temple. I'm going to give you some temple-ish type pictures. And then he saw these things that didn't make any sense to him. And he's like, hold on a second, aren't you here to rebuild the temple? How does this not make sense to you? It's quite funny. But one of the things that I loved about it is this lampstand that he saw was being infused without anyone's intervention. It was automatic, pretty cool. It was kind of like 20th century kind of stuff back then. But no one was having to add oil to the lamps because they had all these little things going to it and automatically adding the oil. And the thing that resonated with me there was, we have Holy Spirit. And unlike the days of old where the Holy Spirit had to drop on you for the task, we have him with us all the time, constantly feeding us that life, constantly feeding us that power. We don't often act like it. Lord, forgive us. Help us to remember that we're housing a part of the Trinity, a part of the Godhead, everywhere we go. One thing to know how God wants you to do it, or what God wants you to do, but how God wants you to do it. The safest approach is to seek his leading and his wisdom in everything. Here's a little last piece on Solomon before we jump to something else here. In all his wisdom, Solomon was still a man, and he still made mistakes. Read the story. Yeah. So much that he had part of the kingdom that was promised to his family's line, whom Jesus came from. He had all but the tribe of Judah stripped from him. Man, what a blow. And his son, not emulating the humility that his father hopefully should have, but I'm going to guess that it possibly was not emulated for him, instead of seeking wise advice. And man, when I think about this story, so his son's name is Rehoboam, the man who took the tribes that were basically known as the northern kingdom of Israel. His name was Jeroboam. They are not related. But basically, both men received a word. Initially, only one man heeded the word. He failed later too. It's really a tragic story. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture, but it's also very tragic. So I encourage you to read it. It's very, very powerful. Lots of wisdom here. But instead of heeding the word that he received, he thought he knew better. He thought he could do better. And instead of receiving the title of servant that his father should have emulated before him, he's like, I know better. I got this. I'm smart. I got it all figured out. God said, oh, really? Watch this. But it doesn't end there. The promise doesn't end there. And I know I'm kind of resting on this for a little bit, but I need us to hear this. It's the will and purpose of God to restore all things to perfection. under the kingship of Jesus. All those tribes, all those people are going to come back under the kingship of Jesus. No more borders, no more divisions, and we will serve him in unity for all of eternity. But here's something that I want you to hear. If you hear nothing, hear this. We've talked about humility and seeking wisdom, but hear this. This is another part of wisdom I believe we can experience right now. I believe that as we are mutually submitted to Jesus and each other, and I use the word submitted to Jesus and each other, I believe we can have a small part of that unity, eternity peace that we'll experience. I know we often don't like the word submission because it doesn't make us feel warm and fuzzy, but this type of submission is good for our souls. It's the type of manna from heaven that he wants us to take part of together. And the key element to that manna was that, once again, humility, expectancy. God doesn't have to provide, but I'm going to believe that he will, each and every day, fresh and new. No more, no less than what I need. And manna will give me all the strength that I need to proceed through the rest of the day. Amen? Jody, could I have you join me? And I'd like you to pray for us, and guys, just join in. But I'd like you to pray for us to surrender and submit to the lordship of Jesus and the unity of fellowship in the body.
Lord, I thank you that you're faithful. Lord, and in that we can rest, that we just need to be obedient. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I just think constantly of Philip leaving his home and just heading in the direction you pointed him and him being where you needed him to be. Lord, and I just pray that you would give us that stability inside, that we would just have in our knowing, that we would know that today as I wake up, I just need to be obedient. And all things fall into place in obedience to you. Not in works. That's not obedience. That's striving. But Lord, just in listening to your Spirit and doing as the Spirit leads. Lord, may we be like Philip. May you rest inside of us and just give us a secure knowing that in obedience and in listening and participation with you, that we can do great things. And that we can be the David or the Peter or the Paul that you've called us to be. Or that I can be the Jody that you've called me to be. And I thank you that it's not just as individuals, although we are individually called, Lord, but that as this body of believers, we in unity can make common goal possible. Lord, that's so important that we as the body participate. Of course, Lord, I know that I currently have an ache in my Achilles tendon on my left foot. And when that's not working properly, my whole body is functioning in regards to my Achilles tendon. Lord, and I don't want to be that part of the body that isn't functioning in the way that you called me to function, so that the rest of the body is paying attention to me in my broken state rather than in obedience to you. And that we're at a halt because unity isn't met in that way. Help us. Jesus, help us. To, as one body, move forward in that. and strength and unity. Because that scripture is true, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can rest in that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, thank you, Lord. I had a little bit of a picture as she was praying there. The thought that brings me joy, so maybe it'll bring you joy, but I think it's pretty cool. Can you imagine being Peter in heaven? So more on that later, but go with me here. Peter's in heaven right now, and he's talking to Jesus. And can you imagine they retell the story of everything that we have in front of us right now? And can you imagine being Peter and saying, "Oh Lord, don't tell that part. I don't like that part of the story as much as I like. Tell the good part where I whack the dude's ear off." And he said, "I had to fix that." You know, like, can you imagine having that exchange with Jesus? You'll have that exchange with Jesus when you get to heaven. Because I don't believe that Jesus has stopped writing a story just because we have the Bible before us that is told of all these things that have happened. That your story is going to be in there, and he's going to go over those parts, and you're going to have those parts that are just a little bit cringy, like, can we read this one fast and get to the good stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like, because you see the first part of your life, and it's one of those things that you're like, oh no, we're going to talk about this, and everyone's going to think. You know, and then you get to the good part where, you know, you're heeding the voice of the Holy Spirit and you're seeing all of this power in your life, and it's like, that's the good stuff. Can we get to the good stuff? But it's a process. Someone was sharing a minute ago, a little bit of a word, I'm going to abbreviate it and kind of all that, but she said, each and every step you take is a step towards what God wants for you. I'm paraphrasing quite a bit, but I love that. It's like he's peeling off the layers with every step of obedience. He's saying, "All right, going to clean you up a little bit more here, like you were saying. I'm gonna fix this piece here, and just make sure that you're fully functional when all is said and done, and I call you up." Amen. I think that's good. Hopefully that gives you joy. All right, my next point, and I'm going to be wrapping up shortly here, but I have one more prayer for us, and I'm going to go ahead and ask. Amber, be ready for this one. I'll tell you in just a minute. But we're going to turn to Proverbs 2, 1 through 15. The question that I'm asking here. So we've talked about how do we get wisdom? That's from Holy Spirit. Here's the question that we're asking here. What happens when we seek it out? So Proverbs 2, 1 through 15 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come understanding and knowledge." Verse 7. "He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways." There's something that I was immediately drawn to. I'm going to pull them before our prayer, so one second. This makes me think of 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert. and of sober mind. He's actually was talking about that in Proverbs if you were looking at some of the wordage he was using. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, and I've got this emphasized, I think. Yeah, italicized, sorry. Like a roaring lion. Is he a roaring lion? Or is he like a roaring lion? He's a wannabe, okay? Looking for someone to devour. He can't devour them. He wants to. He's looking for it. But because he's like a lion, he doesn't have the power over you that when we often read this, we think, oh no, he's coming to get me, right? He can't, because you're his, and he fights for you, okay? I'm going to read these next two parts, and then we're going to go into it. This all then ties to the next part. So remember these, let me step back. Proverbs 2, reference verses 12 through 15. This is what we're talking about. This is at least what the Lord showed me. True and false prophets, Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. How? By their fruit. So, they're producing something. Kind of scary. You have to be paying attention. They're producing something. And because they're producing something, you think that they're good. But he said we would know them by their fruit. What are they producing? Right? Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answers are no for all my gardeners. They're all saying amen. Verse 17, so likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. I like this part. This is for you as a Christian, someone who bears the name of Christ. A good tree cannot bear a bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear a good fruit. You'll know them by what they produce, okay? Not that they are producing. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus didn't stop there. Check this out. True and false disciples, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does what? The will of my Father. What kind of fruit are you producing? Who is in heaven? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Is that what he's seeking or searching for? Things? Actions? But I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There are those in the body that seek to puff up, not build up the body. Because remember, what is prophecy? It's to build up. So likewise, false prophecy probably looks a little bit like prophecy because it's counterfeit. That's what the enemy does. He steals from what is good and he warps it. So if a prophecy puffs you up and it doesn't align with the word of God, it doesn't align with his truth, watch out. Do you think God's here just to puff us up? Or to build us up. It feels a little bit different, right? It looks a little different. Why? Why do they do this? To keep us distracted instead of empowered for the work of the ministry. I believe the Lord put this on my heart so that the Holy Spirit would prevail in your will, in your life, and that you'd step into your calling and destroy the work of the enemy that he's tried to put over you, that puffing up rather than the building up. God, show me the ways that I've been puffed up, haughty, prideful, boastful, not humble in your sight. Right? Is that a word for all of us or just one of us? Yeah. All right. Amber, could you lead us in a prayer that speaks to our discernment and our reaction in wisdom when we're faced with various trials? And anything else the Lord wants to throw in.
Not put on the spot at all. Papa, we just ask that we're alert and aware, that you open up our eyes, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, to see what we can't see when we are so busy and caught up in the other things. Lord, we pray that things are quieted so we can hear you, so we can hear what you're saying and directing and which way you're pointing. We thank you that you've given us the ability to hear your voice so clearly, and even in the moments of chaos, that there's stillness. We thank you that you're putting that on each and every one of us, and you've given us this gift in a different, unique way for each of us that we get to tune into. So I just ask right now that each person in this room is just filled and turned to that channel, Lord, that they can tune into more of you and hear more of you. And when the enemy tries to shoot one arrow one way or shoot an arrow another way, that they can stop and say, wait a second, I'm on the wrong frequency. This isn't of the Lord. And that they can notice that and call it out and speak truth. Yes. We thank you for what you've called us to be and what you say we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alan, would you come up and join me? I'm going to accelerate a few spots here, and then Alan's going to lead us in our final prayer. Jesus finishes that portion in Matthew 7, which is where we were. Jesus finishes that part with the section in verse 24, and then we're going to wrap up. Wise and foolish builders. So we're tying it back to wisdom. Those who seek it, those who receive it from Holy Spirit. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and I think I've got this emphasized. Nope, sorry. There's a section here that he says, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. I need you to hear me. It did not fall. You will not fall if you do this, because it had its foundation on the rock. I'm going to capitalize that one. Jesus. Okay? But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Right? There is power in our testimony. And I'm going to remind you this for as long as there's breath in my lungs. There is power in our testimony. And if you come talk to me, there's going to be an opportunity, or there's going to be a chance that I'm probably going to ask you what's yours. And then if you tell me what's yours, I'm most likely going to have you come up here and you're going to share it with everybody else too, okay? So I'm just warning you in advance. So listen to what the word says. Last scripture, John 15, 26 and 27. When the advocate comes, that's Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. He's doing it. He's showing us how. He's good at it, okay? And then look at verse 27. And you also must testify. If you're not, say, okay, Holy Spirit, I must not have it together. Help me to testify like you testify, okay? For you have been with me from the beginning. Are you called by the name of Jesus? Is the same one who saved them in you? So now you're part of the ones who are with him since the beginning, since he did what he did. Testify. Tell somebody. So I've asked Alan to come up, and I want him to do something here. Alan is going to ask you to come forward. So just get ready. Start moving those legs and get ready to stand up, because I know we've been sitting for a minute. But we're going to pray for the activation of the gifts resident in each of us. If you don't activate it, if you don't call it out and say what it is, how do you know? We want to help you with that. So what I'd like you to do, when he calls you forward, whatever he's going to say, and when he calls you forward, sorry, Stephen, didn't tell you I was going to move, but I want you to line up. And we're going to go down the line, and it's going to take us a minute. If you got somewhere else to be that's more important than that, that's on you and the Lord. I'll let y'all deal with that. But I want you to come up, and I want us, at the very least, confirm your activation, confirm your gift, pray over you, agree with you. Because I kind of want to know what your gift is, to be honest with you, but I believe you may have an idea of what it is. And I believe God wants to use you in a further way than you're currently being used. And if you notice today, I had helpers. I didn't do everything myself. And that's the way I think Jesus would kind of like this to look a little bit more like. Amen? So Alan is going to do that. I'm going to pass it over to Alan, and I'm going to be up here ready to do whatever he says, because this part's his. And y'all, go with us, okay?
I've got kind of as much notice as you did. How many of you remember the beginning scripture that Chris read? Solomon asked. There's a verse in James that says, you have not because you did not ask. Most of us get tied up in the second part of it, but then you were greedy and you wanted to consume it. Don't worry about being greedy until you at least ask. Solomon didn't ask for wisdom between his ears, he asked for a discerning heart. Heart is the center. We're going to have a burger melon fest. What's the best part of a watermelon? The heart. How many of you have ever cut into a watermelon? When you got to the heart, the center of the watermelon, was it pumping? No. God's not talking about the internal organ of our body that pumps blood. He's talking about the center of our being. He said, I want a hearing heart. I want a discerning heart. I want to hear God's voice on the inside. That's where wisdom comes from. I'd like to, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I'd like some more wisdom. Some of you wouldn't have raised your hand if I was asking you if you wanted a free $100 bill. But that's all right. That's between you and God. Your dad raised his hand for that. Chris asked you earlier, how many of you are ready to receive what God's offering? Because God showed up to Solomon. He said, Solomon, what are you going to ask for? He didn't tell Solomon it's multiple choice. I'm giving you A, B, C, or D. You only get to pick those four things. Solomon could ask for anything. In fact, later on, he said, because you didn't ask for all your enemies or wealth or all this stuff, you get that also. But he let Solomon ask for whatever he desired. So that's what the invitation is today. I don't care what. This is not A, B, C, or D. This is anything you want. It's the same invitation God gave to Solomon. So I'd like to encourage you. If you have a desire and you want something from God, then up here's where you're going to get it today. No, there's nothing special about up here other than an act of obedience. Okay? So we're going to stand up. And you're wondering, well, why isn't the worship team? Because they're part of the people that get to ask. Yes. All right. If you want something, up here's where it's at.